All right. Good evening, everyone. We thank the Lord for allowing us to come together on tonight. And we thank God for you on this chilly Wednesday. And we're going to go ahead into the word on tonight. Now, in this series, the series is The Disciples' Call. All right, and we're studying. This is part six tonight. So for those of you who missed parts one through five, they are on the church website and walkoffaithchurch.org, and under the media and the messages section. And you can listen to the lessons and get caught up. I want to encourage you to get your Bibles, have your Bibles, get a pencil and paper, and so that you can write down these scriptures. And I'm going to apologize in advance for so many scriptures. I try not to use so many scriptures, but I want everything to be backed up with the Word of God. It's not my word, but the Word of God that we need to know. We need to learn, and so just write them down. If you can't get to them as quickly as I read, you can, at least you'll have it written down and you can refer back to them later, and make sure that you write down any nuggets, spiritual nuggets that the Lord drops into your spirit as we go. And remember, if he gives it to you, it is for you. Amen. Praise God. All right. So now we're studying from Paul's teachings in Ephesians. And we're studying what it means to walk worthy of the vocation that we've been called into. Right? The vocation or the calling. A vocation is a calling. It's not something we decide to do. It's something that we are called to do. All right? And this is, we were called by God. Right. It's a calling that God has called us and is still calling. Not only did he call us, he's still calling lost souls into this vocation today. And the calling, God has called us to be followers and disciples of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the call. We have been called to follow Jesus, right? Not a pastor, not a bishop, not an apostle, you know, not an evangelist or whoever, but to follow Jesus, to be followers of Jesus Christ, right? And that's why when we say that we are disciples of Christ, we always put of Christ, because you can be a follower of anything and anyone. We are not just disciples, but we are disciples of Jesus Christ because we are followers of Jesus Christ. And regardless, remember I stated this, that regardless of the denominational title that you may come under, right? It might say Baptist on the name of the church that you go to, or it might say Pentecostal or Holiness or whatever. If you are following Jesus Christ according to the New Testament teachings, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Now, Ephesians 4 and 2, Paul says that we've been called to walk in lowliness, which is humility, We've been called to walk in meekness, which is submissiveness, and in long-suffering and forbearance, which is showing patience and restraint in the face of provocation or injury without retaliating. All right, we talked about that in part one and two. Paul also says that we are to do those things. We are to walk in humility and submissiveness, and we are to walk in the face of being provoked and injured without retaliating. We are to do it in love. We're to do all of that in love. Help us, Jesus. And while striving daily to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay? All right? Now, that's a tall order. That's a tall order. Lord, help us to walk in humility, to walk in submissiveness, to walk patiently in patience and in restraint, God, while we are being provoked, while we are being injured. And Lord, help us to do it without retaliating, and help us to do it in love and while trying to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, why is this important? It's important because in order for us to walk worthy, our walking worthy of the calling of discipleship, is because these are the same characteristics that Jesus displayed, that Jesus walked in when he was on the earth. And since we've been called to follow him, right, God is expecting us to follow in the same characteristics of Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus told us that by this love, all men would know that we are his disciples. Okay? And so we win souls, we win lost souls to Jesus Christ when they see good works in us. Not craziness, not arguing, not, you know, not fussing and complaining, and right? No. When they see our good works, they will give God the glory. Amen? Praise God. Now, we've already looked at our call to love. That's in part three. We're now looking at the second of the seven things that unify us in this walk. In Ephesians 4, right, Paul gives us seven things that unify us. The first we talked about, right? We talked about in parts four and five, right? And that is we are unified in the body of Christ. Okay? We are unified in the body of Christ. This second thing that Paul says that we are united in is we are united in the Spirit. In Ephesians 4 and 4, it says there is one body and one Spirit. Okay? One Spirit. Now, these are essential factors that every believer, every disciple of Jesus Christ needs to be aware of. All right? We have been called into one Spirit. And that Spirit that we've been called into is the Spirit of God, which is otherwise, right, known as the Holy Spirit, right, and by other names that, you know, we may run across as we go, right? But there is only one Spirit of God, okay? Only one Spirit. Now, according to 1 John 5 and 7, write that down. 1 John 5 and 7, the word says, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Okay? God is a triune being. Right? Triune. Three in one. That consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but he functions in divine unity. Okay? It's three, but it's one. I always use the illustration of the hand, right? The hand has five fingers, and each of the fingers has a separate and unique function, but it still functions as one hand. It's the same way with God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit each has different functions. They function different, but they all function as one. Okay? Now, allow me, if you will, to put forth my interpretation, my understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit in the Godhead. All right? This isn't Webster or Matthew Henry, right? This is the Walter Williams version, right, of the role of the Holy Spirit, right? And that is that the Holy Spirit communicates the mind, will, and emotions between God and man, and impregnates with power to fulfill God's purposes. Okay? All right? I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit communicates the mind, will, and emotions between God and man, and impregnates with power to fulfill God's purposes. All right? Now, I base this description primarily on two passages of Scripture. The first one is from Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 26 and 27. Okay? Let me take a pause so that you can go there with me. Romans 8, 26 and 27. And there the word says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Mm-hmm. See? The Holy Spirit communicates our thoughts, our will, and our emotions, right, our feelings to God, and communicates God's thoughts, his will and his feelings to us. And it says that, and he impregnates with power, right? According to Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power when, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Praise God. The Holy Spirit knows our minds and knows the mind of God. And he communicates between the two. We are only able to know the mind of God because of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Right? Turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. I'm going to read through verse 12, okay? 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Praise God. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. All right. Now, this is the same Spirit that was in the beginning with God in the creation. Right? In Genesis 1 and 2, the word says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And anytime we see the word Spirit capitalized, we know it's talking about the Spirit of God and not just any spirit. Again, in Genesis 1 and 26, when God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, the us that he was talking about, or he was talking to, was Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The impregnating power of the Holy Spirit is that force that God used to regenerate our dead spirits and make us born again. Let me say that again. the impregnating power of the Holy Spirit is the force that God used to regenerate our dead spirits and make us born again. Remember, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, 5 and 6, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." The Holy Spirit does the regenerating. The Holy Spirit is what makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that brings about the new birth. We were born physically in this world from our mother's wombs, but we are born spiritually by the Holy Spirit. Everyone who becomes a follower of Jesus Christ today or tomorrow is made a child of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? That's it. Yes, it's important that come before the preacher or confess their sins. But it is the power of the Holy Spirit that does the transforming. Look with me at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 13th verse. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. And it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." We talked about the body of Jesus Christ, amen, last week. "Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Amen. Praise God. Remember that in John 10 and 30, Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." Right? And in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed that the Father would make all who believed in him one. He prayed, "Lord, make them one as you and I are one." Now, that kind of spiritual unity only happens through the manifested power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Remember I shared with you I always marveled, it always amazed me at how in Acts 2, it starts out saying that the believers were in the upper room with one accord, right? How they were 120 believers with one accord. Yeah. And if that wasn't enough, it goes on after Pentecost came, after the Holy Spirit came, then, right, Luke records still that even after 3,000 souls got saved and added to the church, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved, the word talks about how they all were together with one accord, and how they all had all things in common. Right? They were united in spirit. They were united by the power of the Spirit of God. Here you have all of these different people, and even in Acts 2, it goes down the list and talks about how all of the different languages of the people who were gathered together, right, that they were there and they heard the word of God preached in their own languages. And even though they were, right, people of different languages and different, right, different dialects and different cultures and probably different skin colors, right, the word of God says, after they had been born again, after they had received the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to be together in spiritual unity, so much so that they were saved, they were able to say, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. They were so unified in the spirit that if there was a spiritual need, or in fact, let me say, if there was a physical need, right? They needed food, or someone needed clothing, or someone needed a place to stay, right? Those who had extra, those who had an abundance, they would sell what they had and share it with those who didn't. Why? Because they were together in spiritual unity, bound by the power of the Holy Spirit. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, we don't have that kind of unity. We don't get that kind of unity just out of, you know, good nature, because our nature ain't that good. Mm-hmm. Or forgive the improper English. Our nature isn't that good. Right? No. Right. We must always be mindful. We've got to be mindful now that every spirit that speaks isn't the Holy Spirit. Why I say that? I say that because people are quick to say that the Spirit led me to do or to say a thing. But the Holy Spirit doesn't operate in or cause disorder, according to 1 Corinthians 4:14-33, remember Paul recorded, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Oh, no. We cannot say that the Holy Spirit made me do this or say this and to do or to say something that causes confusion. That's not God. All right? Turn to John, to 1 John. Turn back to 1 John. That's the before Revelations, way back that far. 1 John, the 4th chapter. And look at the first verse. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." See, small s. "But try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets, many spirits are going out into the world." Verse 2 says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." Okay? This is how we judge whether or not it's of God or some other spirit. "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist." There's a spirit of Antichrist. Okay? "Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Okay? Now turn the page to 2 John and look at verse 7. There's only one chapter. Verse 7. It says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world." We could say many spirits are entered into the world, "who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." John says that any spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus is come in the flesh is the spirit of the antichrist, is the spirit of deception, it's a lying spirit. Okay? And it's not enough to confess that Jesus came in the flesh if we don't believe or obey what he said. Why I say that? Because Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said that there will be many who will say in the last days, "Lord, Lord, we did things in your name." We did all kinds of stuff. We prophesied in your name, Lord. We did all kinds of stuff in your name. And Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." These are those, right? Those are the ones who were led by a spirit, but not by the Holy Spirit. All right? So there's many spirits. We've got to be very careful, right, about what's speaking to us. All right? Yeah, right. Some of those dreams that we have is just that spicy food you ate before you went to bed, or that crazy movie you watched, or that crazy stuff that you was looking at or listening to or reading on Facebook or maybe a result of that alcohol or that weed, or right? So right, every spirit is not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, when we walk in the unity of the Holy Spirit, even our diverse gifts and talents don't compete. They complement each other. Okay? All right. When we walk in the unity of the Holy Spirit, even our diverse gifts and talents aren't in competition. They complement each other. Okay? Turn back to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 4 through 6. Right? 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. Right? Because, see, when we receive the anointing, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we also receive the gifts of the Spirit. And according to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, the word says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit. Only one Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives each and every person their individual, unique, different gifts. 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Whatever the gift you have been given by the Holy Spirit, it was given to you to help the body of Christ accomplish the purposes of making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus taught his disciples. Okay? The gifts are supposed to work together. They work together for one purpose. Why? Because the gifts are given to the body of Christ, and there's only one body moving in one direction. my mind went to, right, the thought of a person's body trying to go in separate directions. Imagine the chaos, the confusion, and the pain that would cause that individual. The Spirit of God, right, is one with the Father and one with the Son. The gifts work in complement, and even the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's recorded in Galatians 5, right? Love. The nine fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Each of these gifts is also given to promote unity and to bring glory to God. Hey! God did not give us, the church, the body of Christ, the members of the body, he did not give us the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, for us to tear one another down. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians 5, verse 9 and 10, and I'm almost done. Ephesians 5, verse 9 and 10, Paul records, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all." Okay? Everyone who has the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit operates in goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Right? The fruit of the Spirit, what fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, right? The fruit of the Spirit is in everyone who has it. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, anything outside of that, okay, is functioning and operating in the wrong spirit. Right? And let me close. I'm going to close with the words from Jude, verse 17 through 19. Jude is the book right in front of Revelations. Okay? One chapter. In Jude, verses 17 through 19, it says, "But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." All right. Okay. Now, those who are mockers, those who or walking in ungodly lust, right? Those who are separating themselves, right, into cliques and factions, right? Little gangs, little church gangs, posses, right? Jude said, they may have something, but it is not the Holy Spirit. Right? Okay? I want you to see the contrast between walking in the unity of the Spirit and walking in the disunity of the spirits of this world. We've been called to walk united in the Holy Spirit. And when the body of Christ begins doing this, we're going to see a great revival in the midst of us. And I don't know about you, but I am praying, Lord, send a revival. Let's pray. Father, I bless your holy name and thank you, O God, for your word to us. I thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge. And I thank you, Lord, that you are opening up our eyes, God, to the truth of your word. And Lord, because the enemy has for so long blinded us, and Lord, has had us walking around in darkness. But God, I thank you that the truth makes us free. I thank you, Father, that God, you have been patient with us. And in our religiosity, Lord, in our spiritual performances, God, I thank you that you patiently waited for us, God, and that you, Lord, are not done with us yet. I thank you, Father, and God, you are showing us who you called us to be. And God, you are helping us, God, to walk in love and to walk in unity. And God, that we would let our light shine before this dark world, that men would see our good works and give you the glory. Father, I ask you, God, perfect what you have started in us. I ask you, O God, finish what you started. God, I pray, Lord, that you, God, would rise up in us by the power of your Holy Spirit and teach us how to be your disciples. Teach us, Father, to walk worthy of the calling that you have called us into. God, I pray, Lord, that you will help us, O God, to be bold soldiers, living witnesses, and God, that you would show forth, God, your power with miracles, signs, and wonders. Forgive us, O God, and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen.